Good morning and welcome to Lighthouse. Special aloha to our lay-wearing friends from Valor Christian Academy, and we'll find out later about why they're visiting us this morning. You know, but the Sunday service is going to be pretty different than our usual services in that, as Pastor Matt mentioned, we're going to be using this service to kick off our month focused on evangelism. And really, God could have chosen a number of different ways for his gospel message to spread, but he formed the church. The church is the primary way for his gospel message to be spread all around the world. And that is our theme this morning, God's unstoppable church. Nothing is going to stop God's plan for his gospel to be spread. And so throughout this service, hopefully you're going to get a glimpse of God's church here at Lighthouse and other parts of the world and how this gospel message is being spread. But with that, I wanted to ask you a question, started us off. But have you ever been given a mission that seemed impossible? Maybe it was your teacher telling you that your research paper needed to be a minimum of 15 pages. You know, of course, our Valor teachers are much nicer than that, so they wouldn't do something like that. Maybe it was your boss telling you that your timeline for that major project has now been cut by 40%. For me, it was taking a dozen steps outside of the hospital doors, holding our newborn daughter, thinking, where are the nurses? Aren't they coming with us? And then realizing, what did we get ourselves into? You know, in certain ways, we as Christians have been given a mission that seems impossible to accomplish. And what is that mission? It's proclaiming the gospel locally and globally. It's the mission of the church to make disciples of all peoples, from strangers to family members, from those in our season of life to those who are not, from those who are classmates to our neighbors, from those in our culture to those outside of our culture. We're called to evangelize. So speaking of our mission as Christians, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You know, as we've been transformed by Jesus, we have a new mission in life. Because maybe before coming to Christ, your mission in life may have been to climb the career ladder, or maybe to get into that dream school, or find that perfect someone. You know, maybe it was to bake that perfect cupcake. Whatever it may have been, now that our primary mission is to follow Jesus Christ, everything else becomes secondary to that mission of living for Jesus and proclaiming his greatness to others. You know, the word proclaim that Peter uses means like to publish or to advertise. You know, we're to tell others something that other people don't know anything about. You know, for many of us, we love telling others about things we enjoy. We advertise the newest restaurant we tried. We talk about the latest book we read. We tell others about what we're watching, the movies that we just saw. We publish photos of our kids or our grandkids. And we should have that same type of urgency and excitement as we tell others about Jesus. But now I want us to think about another question. How are we viewing the mission of proclaiming the gospel locally and globally? Or another way of putting it is, how should we look at this task of sharing with Christ with others around this world? The reason why I ask is because many of us kind of see this task as being impossible. You know, we look at the stats, and over the past 20 years, church attendance in America has gone down from 70% to 50%. You know, we may see it like politics or homelessness or the amount of trash generated in our world, and it's just too impossible. It's too big. It's too complicated. It's just me. So why should I waste my time and effort? You know, I'm not going to make any difference anyway. Or maybe for some of it's this. I'm afraid. I don't know enough about the Bible or theology. What happens if they ask me the hard questions? You know, I'm not that clear with my words and how to share the gospel with others. And what happens, though, when I do finally muster up that effort and I share the gospel with someone I love and they still reject it? What then? You know, I'm sure if we went around the sanctuary, we could come up with a very long list of why this mission seems impossible. But our attention must not be on the mission, nor upon us, but it should be upon God. Because if our attention is not on God, then this mission really will be impossible. and will fail to live it out. So in order for us to focus on God, we're going to head to an unlikely passage found in the Old Testament book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. So if you wouldn't mind turning there, and as you turn there, I'm just going to set down a little bit of the setting of what's going on here. Okay, our passage is in the time of after the reigns of King David and King Solomon. And 2 Kings follows the lineage of these kings from Judah and Israel. Unfortunately, as we see this lineage, that many of these kings were wicked, and they didn't lead their people towards God. So periodically, God would send a prophet who would plead with the leaders and the people to repent, turn back to God, turn away from your sins. And one of these prophets, his name is Elisha, and he performed incredible miracles to verify that what he was saying is from God. And in chapter 6, we find Elisha, who's in the middle of a kind of a war between Israel with King Jehoram and Syria with King Ben-Hadad. King Ben-Hadad plans this invasion of Israel, but God supernaturally lets Elisha know the plans. Then Elisha lets the king of Israel know. And this happens more than once, to where King Ben-Hadad asks his leadership council, you know, will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel? Basically, who is the spy? Because every time I plan a surprise raid, the surprise is on us. But his leadership council knows the truth. It's God's prophet, Elisha, who hears and tells the king of Israel. So King Ben-Hadad's like, let's get this dude. Let's get him. And he sends a great army to get this man of God. And it's in this story that we see two reminders as we think about the question, how are we viewing the mission of proclaiming the gospel locally and globally? Because as we'll see, Elisha faces a seemingly impossible situation. The first is, remember God's presence. Remember God's presence. Because oftentimes our eyes only see the physical world, what we can touch and experience. But this Bible passage displays a truth we need to remember as Christians. We're living out the mission of proclamation, and it is this. We need to see life through the lens of God's presence, because when we do, then we'll be able to see what our earthly eyes don't see. You know, we find Elisha and his servant in Dothan, a town where the Syrian army surrounded the city. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, it says this. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots were all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? Elisha said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And have you noticed we're oftentimes not like Elisha, but rather like Elisha's servants? We can only see the impossible task and the enormous opposition. In evangelistic terms, it's your parent who doesn't want to hear anything about Christianity. It's the sibling who's living all that this world has to offer. Or it's that friend who has it all, so why would he or she want to know about Jesus? These are the eyes that say, what shall we do? But what does Elisha pray for his servant? That his eyes may see that God is with them. We must remember that if God gives us this mission, he's not going to leave us on our own. No, he is our God. He is with us. He will give us the courage. He will give us the words to share. He will give us eyes to see that he is with us so that this mission is not impossible. Remember, our faith is in our ever-present God. And this leads us to our second reminder. It is this. Remember God's grace. Remember God's grace. Because let me continue reading with verse 18. It says, and when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, please strike this people with blindness. So we struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he led them to Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, "O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. As soon as the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I strike them down? Shall I strike them down?" He answered, "You shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master." So he prepared for them a great feast. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. And the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel. You know, did you catch what happened to the Syrian army? God clouded their ability to see and to discern what was going on. So Elisha had to lead them. And like Elisha, we as Christians who have spiritual sight try and lead others to God. Elisha leads the army into Samaria where King Jehoram was, and Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, open their eye, the eyes of these men, that they may see." And what they saw was a different land. And more importantly for them, they saw that they were in danger. They were captured and surrounded by Israel's army. Fear filled their hearts because they knew that death was possibly near. They were shocked, but so was King Jehoram. He didn't know what to do with these guys. Kill them, release them, enslave them. So he asked Elisha. And Elisha's answer displays the graciousness and kindness of our God. He tells the king to feed them, to show hospitality to them. And the king does just that. He prepares not just a feast, but a great feast. You know, isn't that such a beautiful picture of the message we're trying to share with our non-Christian family members, friends, coworkers, and strangers? Because we're all like the Syrian army, opposing God with our hatred, with our denials, with our doubts. We're all blinded by our sin, but God opens the eyes so that they may see the danger they're in because of their pride and their sin. How deserving we are of our punishment, but instead of punishment, God serves us and lavishly gives to us more than we could ever imagine. This feast is a picture of God's grace. It's a picture of the gospel where God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to rescue us from our sins by dying on the cross so that we may have a relationship with the living God. That is the beautiful message that we proclaim. That is the prayer we pray, that God will open eyes so that others will see the danger that they're in because of their sin and will want to respond in faith to Jesus Christ. Let's not be overwhelmed at the mission of sharing the gospel with other people, because if our lives have been personally touched by God's grace, we can't help but proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So how should we view the mission that we have been given? We should feel unstoppable. Not because of who we are, but because of who God is. He is with us, and his grace flows freely in the gospel message that we proclaim to others. And throughout the rest of this service, we're going to see a snapshot of God's unstoppable church proclaiming the gospel locally, nationally, and globally. But I'd like to leave you with five quick ways of how you can get involved in carrying out this mission. And they're found in your bookmarks in your program on the back side. But briefly, here are the five ways. First is this: invite others to wholeheartedly trust in the gospel and follow him. As I've mentioned before, if you're a Christian, then you're an evangelist. We all need to be able to share the gospel with others. Second, invest your resources. Give of your time, your money, your frequent flyer miles. Give of what you have in efforts to share the gospel near and far. Third, involve yourself in evangelism. You know, in the next few months, check out the Lighthouse website under Evangelism and Missions to find out more ways about how to get involved with a short-term missions team, or how to be a prayer supporter, or how to care for our career missionaries. And next Sunday, I would invite you to come out and listen to how God used our summer missionaries at our luncheon after the second service. You know, that's one way you can continue to get involved. The fourth is inform your worldview of what God is doing regards to evangelism. You know, read books. And on the bookshelves out in the entrance, that we put on two different shelves about different titles. All of them are great books about how to grow a missions mind. You know, become part of our missions class or join one of the two ways to live that are found in different languages. And lastly, intercede that the gospel may spread. You know, do you know what the elders would love to see in our church family? That we would love being a people that pray together. And I want to encourage you to keep on coming out to our monthly prayer gatherings. It's the second Monday evening of each month. And our next one is coming up is October 14th. And our focus will be on missions and evangelism. So those are five quick ways that you can get involved. And there's many different details that you can take from those five. But one last word. You know, there will be a day in the future when Christ returns and there will be a feast where Jesus, being the groom, will be united with his bride, the church. And there's going to be a marriage supper, a feast in celebration. Because in Revelation 19, verses 6 through 8, it captures the worship of Christ. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. And a few verses later it says, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let each one of us remember to pass out those gospel invitations by fulfilling our mission of proclaiming Christ, because we're part of God's unstoppable church. Now I'd like us to direct our attention to the screens as we watch a video from our brothers and sisters located in Texas from our church plant at Zoe Community Church.
Those of you who don't know me, my name is Toshi Saito. I'm one of the pastoral interns at Lighthouse. It's good to see God's faithfulness in this church plant in Texas. And today I have the privilege of sharing a little bit about the next chapter of Lighthouse's church plant, which will be in Nagoya, Japan. The goal of sharing is to give you information, but also to let you know our general plan for the church plant. First, I was asked to share a little bit about myself and Hide Kawai, the two of us who will be leading this church plant. For those of you who do not know Hide, Hide was a pastoral intern at Lighthouse in 2016 and 2017. He lives in Nagoya with his wife Yasuo and their children Shoma and Emma. And currently, Hide is a church plant apprentice in Nagoya at a church called All Nations Fellowship. If you know Cindy Kobayashi, it is the same church Cindy is currently serving at. Through our friendship with Hide, my wife Machiko and I started attending Lighthouse last year, and our one-year-old son, Aaron, has been attending Lighthouse his entire life so far. A few years ago, I met Hide for the first time here in the States, and last year, the Lord graciously brought me to Lighthouse as a pastoral intern. As we began getting to know each other, Hide and I learned not only that we were both interested in church planting in Japan, but that Lighthouse elders had the same vision. So this past summer, in June, Pastor Kim, Pastor Gavin, and I went to Japan for a week, partially to plan for this future church plant. And by faith, we decided to move forward with it. Lord willing, in a month from today, I'll be moving back to the country where I grew up after living in the States for 16 years to start preparing for this church plant with Hide and his family. So here are some general ideas about what the church plant would look like. First, primary language of the church will be Japanese. It doesn't mean that there will be no English translation, but I just want to let you know that it will probably look different from a bilingual church. Second, most churches in Japan do not have plural elder leadership. And it is rare to see a church plant supported by a single church from the States. In that sense, our church will be different from typical Japanese church and church plants. And most importantly, like Lighthouse, we want to be a gospel-centered, Bible-teaching, disciple-making church. So how do we do that? There's a pastor in Washington, D.C. His name is Mark Dever. He's a senior pastor of Capitol Hill Baptist Church and the president of Nine Marks. When he was asked to share his plan for the church he was called to pastor at, he summarized it by four P's. He said that he will preach, he will pray, and develop personal discipling relationship, and be patient, trusting that Christ will build his church through his word. That is the kind of mindset we want to have for this church plant in Nagoya, Japan. We want to do all we can to remember that our goal is not the success of this church plant, but to glorify God through the growth of the gospel and the believers in Nagoya, Japan. And next, here's our general timeline. So next month, in November, I will start as a church planting apprentice at All Nations Fellowship and begin serving with Hide at ANF. And then in April 2020, Hide and I will start preparing full-time for the church plant while attending ANF for Sunday worship. 3 months later, in July 2020, our hope is to start worshiping together with the church plant team. And then about 9 months later, in April 2021, the church will officially launch, Lord willing. So that is our general timeline for the church plant. And lastly, here are some of our prayer requests. Japan is a wonderful country in many ways, but it is also a really hard place for us to live as Christians. I know a lot of my Christian friends in Japan feel very isolated, and they are struggling to live out their faith daily. And I'm sure we will face the same struggle, and we really need your prayers. Specifically, please pray for faithfulness and family and friends. First, for faithfulness, there will be many challenges, but please pray that we will remain faithful to the Lord and His gospel first and foremost. Second, for family, please pray that both of our families would be able to build healthy relationships with each other in unity and humility. And third, for friends, please pray for God to add more leaders and church planting team members, both from here and from Japan. By the way, if you happen to know someone in Nagoya, maybe your friends, family members, would you let them know about this church plant? And would you let us know about them as well? And Lighthouse, please pray and consider how you can be a part of the gospel work in the nation of Japan through this church plant. I just want to quickly share three ways how you can get involved. First, if God moves your heart to long-term missions in Japan, and you are actually able to move to Japan by April 2021, please consider joining our church planting effort in Nagoya. If that's you, please come talk to me or Pastor Gavin. Second, maybe you're interested in Japan missions, but not sure if you can commit to it for 5, 10, 20 years. That's okay. Please consider supporting our church plant by joining us for a few months, perhaps through Summer VBS or CBI's internship or through other ministries. And lastly, even if you can't commit to long-term or short-term missions, we'll be so encouraged by your prayers, personal messages, and by you visiting us on your next vacation. So my heart, Hide's heart, and even the Lighthouse elders' heart for this church plant is this. There's a great need for the gospel in the country of Japan, and they desperately need Christ. And as Pastor Eric preached last Sunday, we want to preach the gospel and point people to Christ so that they may have the light of life in the midst of great spiritual darkness in Japan. And right now, we're just going to watch a video where Hide and I collectively share our hearts for this church plant.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Eufemio. I help oversee our local evangelism ministry here at Lighthouse. It's our outreach to our community. As you've seen, our heart here at Lighthouse is to reach the nations through our partnerships in Japan and in Mexico, and through summer short-term missions. Through our global evangelism ministry, we want to share the gospel and the love of Christ with those outside of the U.S. But we also want to reach out to those who are closer to home. You know, we have friends and families, neighbors in our backyards who don't know Christ. So with that in mind, we have our local evangelism ministry, which is our outreach to those who are here in our local community. And there are different ways that we reach out to our neighbors, and I just want to highlight a few for you this morning. The first is our partnership with Valor Christian Academy. This morning, we have the honor of having teachers and staff from Valor here in our service, and before our family time, we'll be commissioning them in their work in the gospel. But just to share a little bit about our partnership, Valor is a private Christian school in Redondo Beach, and it was about 8 years ago when our church started partnering with their school. Back then, we were in the process of moving to this building, and we were looking to make a greater impact for the gospel in the South Bay. And an opportunity came for us to partner with a private Christian school in Redondo Beach. Back then, it was called Coast Christian School, and the school was looking for a church to provide spiritual covering for them. And our leadership decided that as a church, we would partner with the school, which is now called Valor Christian Academy. And we have this partnership because we see Valor's vision to make an impact for the gospel in our community. I think it's easy for us to assume that the teachers at Valor and their parents are already believers, but that's not always the case. You know, Pastor Tim was sharing a story with me of when he was speaking to the students at Valor during one of their chapel services, and he asked the kids, what makes someone a Christian? You know, does wearing a Christian t-shirt make you a Christian? And, you know, all the kids said no. Does going to a Christian school make you a Christian? And most of the kids said no, you know, a few yeses. And then he asked them, does having Christian parents make you a Christian? And surprisingly, most of the students said yes. You know, and Pastor Tim said, this is why we're doing this. You know, we want to reach these students and their families for Christ. Right? So Valor teachers and staff, you're here and you have the opportunity to address the hearts of these students, to share the gospel and to make disciples, which can impact the families, our community spiritually, and God is using you for his kingdom. In Lighthouse, as a church, you know, we just want to pour out our love and our support for their school in simple ways, right? And as an example, our small groups have been praying for the Valor teachers and staff. We also serve the school through an annual community service event in the spring called ShareFest, and many of you guys have been involved in that. And then we help teach their weekly chapels, and we equip their staff in however way we can to counsel and to reach out to their students and families. So in short, it's been a blessing for a church to serve their school. And later on the service, I'd like to encourage you to please take time to greet them, reach out to them after service. They're the ones wearing the orchid lays, so we marked them for you. So secondly, for our outreach, we also have Spectrum, our international student ministry here at Lighthouse. So Spectrum basically reaches out to international college students in our area, and our goal is really simple. You know, it's just building genuine friendships with students, sharing our lives with them, and showing them what the love of Christ is really like. We realize that it's not easy for international students when they come to the U.S. Imagine, you know, they're here without their friends, without their families. So we want our church family to care for them and to support them. And when I think about our ministry, really, it's such a simple thing that we do, right? We welcome students. We love them genuinely. We invite them to our lives. And our hope is that our friendship and love would help them to understand what the gospel is all about. But imagine, you know, many of our students come from unreached people groups. If they come to faith, or even if they just remember our love for them, this can change their perspective on the Christian faith. This could open the doors for missions and the gospel in their country. So our vision really is a global one. And lastly, we have our local evangelism events. And each month, as you know, we have casual, fun events to help people get to know our church family, whether it's through a photography class, board game night, Super Bowl party, golf tournament, and the hiking trip that we just had last Saturday. These are ways for us to invite friends, families, neighbors to Lighthouse and get to know our church family. And we're still planning events for 2020, but I'd like to encourage you to get involved in our different events. Please pray for us as we plan. And the hope is that our events would serve just as stepping stones, right? And our church would continue to grow in a culture of evangelism, where we have a passion for the lost, where we're coming together, we're praying for people, we're inviting them not just to our events, but into our lives, and it becomes natural to share our faith. And if there's a common thread that for our evangelism outreach here at Lighthouse, it's whether it's Spectrum or Valor or monthly events, it's the building of relationship. It's meeting needs with the hopes of being able to share Christ with them. And that's the heart of our gospel witness. And our hope is that we would live this out, not just in the month of October, but always. As Pastor Gavin encouraged us, let's take every opportunity to get involved in what we do here at Lighthouse and beyond in relationships, sharing our faith with those around us. And let us have hope that our God is sovereign, he is gracious, and he's on the move in our world today. So with that, let's pray to our God. Father, you are good and kind and merciful, not only to save us, but to allow us this privilege, Lord, to take part in your kingdom work throughout the world. Father, give us a heart for the nations and our community to proclaim the excellencies of Christ, to share our faith for your glory and for our eternal joy. And as we go, Lord, open our eyes to what you're doing around the world and remind us of your presence, your sovereignty, and your grace. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.